Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Sometimes you feel like
that means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you
tear down this wall.
Here's Johnny.
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Ah! We're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
I was in a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in six seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's in time. Win the World Series. The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
Good morning, Mr. Schwann.
Well, there you are.
Sorry.
Hey, Dave.
Yes, what's going on, buddy?
Good morning. Well, I'll tell you what.
Yes.
We're seeing more and more daylight.
Yes.
It's a little bit warmer. So this is a sign that there is hope. Hope
there
springs.
There is hope. I
eternal.
Agree.
Get it?
I
hope springs.
I get it.
A friend of mine's daughter calls it Sprinter.
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 Yeah.
Sprinter. That's nice. That's nice. What do we got for history today, Dave? 1894, the first public showing of Thomas Edison's kinescope moving pictures. You reported on that, didn't you?
Right. This newfangled invention.
It was designed for films to be viewed by one individual at a time through a peephole viewer window at the top of the device. I kind of remember that. It was kind of like a rectangular
you
box seeing that.
It, right.
Yeah.
You look through the device because it gave a, you know, it darkened everything around the person's field of vision.
It was almost like a vending machine or like a slot machine.
Yeah.
Almost
yeah.
A little bit. Right?
I'll bet you that was a novelty and a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
At the Columbian Exposition.
Oh,
you
I bet.
1894
yeah.
There, but, you know, the fact that this was something new and coming and very, very different. Very different.
Creating the illusion of movement by conveying a strip of perforated film bearing sequential images over a light source with a high-speed shutter.
Mm-hmm.
That was his the registration
That's
for the...
That was the principle
yeah.
Behind film up to when they stopped using film.
Yeah.
Now it's all digital, of
It
course,
is all but, digital.
But yeah. That is the case, yes.
Pretty cool. 1902, James Cash Penny, which I always thought was cash. Really? Cash Penny? Yeah. opens his first store, the Golden... It was called the Golden Rule.
The Golden Rule?
The Golden Rule. Now they, of course, operate over 1,000 stores. But yeah, I think after he changed the names to JCPenney, the Golden Rule became his customer service mantra.
Ah.
A lot of girls go around wondering how other girls manage to look so put together. You know the kind. Her shirts always look right with her pants, which look terrific with her sweaters. Everything's great with everything else. Like the girl you're looking at, who put it all together at JCPenney. All based on one very special pair of pants. In style, they're a classic, but they're made of the latest thing, woven, texturized polyester. They're like a wardrobe in themselves for only $13. There's no end to the great looks we'd be happy to help you put together. For only $13, you could even start all over with these extraordinary pants. This time, how about something in a nice houndstooth? At JCPenney, we know what you're looking for.
1910, President Taft threw out the first baseball at a baseball game as a president.
He was the first one
to
do it?
He was the first one to do it in 1910. This is a cylinder, I think. Or maybe it's a 78.
I'll bet you that's a cylinder, though. I mean, it was the source, the actual.
And I never heard the rest of the verses, but there's a couple other verses on here. Let's just take a little listen.
For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
All right, we'll just talk over this part. Nobody comes back with some more lyrics, so we'll...
Hey, DK's saw all the games, knew the players by their first names, told the umpire he was wrong all along, good and strong. When the score was just 2-2, Katie Casey knew what to do. Just to cheer up the boys she knew, she made the gang sing this song. Take me out to the ball game, take me out with the crowd, buy me some peanuts and crabs.
Okay, let's find out who Casey Casey is.
I think he might be the Casey at the bat. The old story of Casey at the bat.
Okay.
There is no joy in Mudville. Mighty Casey has struck out.
Wow, look at that. It's cool, Dave. You are the king of history, man, I got to tell you. 1925.
I don't know my middle name. Right.
1925, it was the first regular Cubs season game to be broadcast on radio in general, but it was on WGN this week.
25?
1925, yeah.
Man, you know, I've talked with Dean and you, too, about what broadcasting must have been like back then.
I know,
I would have loved to. There are some very, very early recordings of broadcasts.
Of radio in general.
1920s, of radio in general.
Yeah.
From that time period. But to have had something saved from those original games.
Right.
The Scopes Monkey Trial.
Yeah.
That was a network.
Yeah.
Do you realize how hard that was to do in the 20s, given the technology you had?
Is there audio on that, on the Scopes Monkey Trial, Dave?
I don't think so.
No, okay.
I don't think so.
Okay.
What there is, though,
pictures,
is some very,
pictures.
Well, pictures, but there is some film, you know, silent film.
Oh, wow.
Because the last day of the trial, it was so hot that the judge said, we can't stay inside here. We're moving outside where it was just as
Isn't
hot.
Isn't that something?
But they moved it outside the courthouse, and Clarence Darrow and William Jennings Bryan are there arguing, and there's just some maybe 10, 15 seconds
Of
residual footage.
How cool is that?
That they're there, and it's incredible.
When I think of Cubs on WGN in general, I think of Harry Carey, but I mostly think of Jack Brickhouse.
Well, sure. And I grew up with Jack.
Yeah, me too. Know. And it was Pat's birthday, his wife's birthday this week, as we were talking about off here. Do we have some audio of Jack?
Of course, Jack, you know, the hey, kid, as far as I'm concerned, I'd love to hear you say hey, because I knew somebody was running around those bases. And Jack, you've been here 38 years in Wrigley Field. What was the most memorable moment of those 38 years?
Well, I get that question a lot, Ronnie, and every time I get it, I have to do a double take, because I've had the good fortune to handle on television, 8 no-hitters, and 7 of them involved the Cubs.
There's a high fly ball, short right, should be caught, fan zone's out there on the grass, he has it, it's a no-hitter for Pappas, a no-hitter for Milt Pappas.
Who's the other one involved?
White Sox.
Joe Hornets.
I don't want you to forget about that one.
Well, I wasn't going to mention the 7th one either, because that was a Cub loss. They lost their no-hitter to Maloney. But the other 6 are legitimate Cub wins. But I have to say that, or Ernie Banks 500, or a lot of ball games that Ron Santo played in that 69 season particularly, when talk about the clutch hitter, you want the guy that can really come through in the clutch. Here he is right here.
There's a base hit for Santo. The Cubs have the lead as Ron Santo singles sharply to right field. Kessinger scoring. Billy Williams stops at second. Attaboy, Ronnie.
Getting back to Harry's question about Wrigley Field, I couldn't agree with you more. I once said to Phil Wrigley, you know, I love these new stadia compared to some of the old relics where we had to work. But I said, I still see an awful lot of cement and steel and iron and a certain amount of sterility. At Wrigley Field, we have warmth. And Wrigley said it very right. He said, those other people have a stadium. We have a ballpark.
1934, Shirley Temple appeared in her first movie, Stand Up and Cheer. 1938, cartoon characters Daffy Duck, Elmer Fudd debut. Daffy was one of the first of the new screwball characters that emerged in the late 1930s to replace traditional everyman characters who were more popular in the decade, such as Mickey Mouse and Popeye. You know what this sounds like to me? It's the Ray Rayner show.
Ray Rayner show.
More than Bugs Bunny, you know? Daffy starred in 133
of them. Saddles, though. Candy Graham for Mongo.
Daffy starred 133 shorts, making him the third most frequent character in Looney Tunes and Merry Melodies. Who was number one? Deffy was at 133.
Yeah.
He was the third most popular. Who was the most popular character?
Bugs Bunny?
Yep, and the second?
In Looney Tunes. Okay, Bugs Bunny, Elmer Fudd.
This is a unique day because this will be our last tape on this show.
Ooh, let's listen to this for a minute. It's Ray Raider's last show, 1981.
I'll say something later, but my friend Shelvison is here in his tub. Hiya, Shelv. He's been out in the tub quite a while, as a matter of fact.
Porky Pig was the answer, by the way.
Yeah, Porky Pig.
It's your old friend. How's it going?
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't do this years ago. Look at that. Hey, my buddy. All right, okay. Hey, wait, you want to eat? Wait a second.
What's really wild about Ray Rayner is, you know, we talk about the WGN Morning News being number one and beating out all the other three shows combined.
Mm-hmm.
Ray Rayner did that.
Did he really?
He beat CBS, ABC, and NBC. Yeah. Let's see.
Well, you know, the thing of it is that was interesting also with Ray was, it was before the time of morning TV as we know it, where you had a, you know, a news set.
Oh, right.
You know, CBS, chalkboard? Channel 2 was running Captain Kangaroo. That was now.
That's right.
I don't know.
Today's show was on,
yes, okay.
Good Morning America, sure. 75
that
or 76,
came, yes, that came later.
Mid. Yeah,
because I'm going back to my job.
But he was adults loved him too. It wasn't just for kids.
Oh yeah, yeah. And he would say that. He would make a point of that. He said, "This is a show for everybody."
Yeah,
yeah.
Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took, but I do know that I love you, and I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be.
All right, in 1948, the ABC TV network began. 1943, first as a radio network, successor to the NBC Blue Network, which was purchased by Edward Noble. Then extended its operations to television in 1948. In the mid-1950s, ABC merged with United Paramount Theaters. Because wasn't there an ABC theater on State Street?
For a while, I think there was, yes.
So that must have been when they bought the theater company, they put the ABC logo on there.
They were in the record business for a while.
Yes, they were. Leonard Goldenson, who had been the head of UPT, managed to make the new TV network profitable by leading it to many successful series. The first series was Candid Microphone, which was a precursor to Candid Camera. And then
Microphone.
And then they had one of the first TV talent shows, the Hollywood Screen Test, it was called.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm. 1955, Ray Kroc starts a McDonald's chain of fast food restaurants in Illinois.
Yep.
Obviously, he's
not far from here.
In 1954, he was surprised by a huge order for multi-mixers, because he was a paper cup salesman and a multi-mixer salesman, I think, at the time.
That's right. Out in California.
San Bernardino, he got a huge order. Then he found a small but successful restaurant run by Dick and Mac McDonald and was stunned by the effectiveness of their operation. They produced a limited menu, concentrating on a few items, burgers, fries, and beverages. He pitched the version of creating McDonald's all over the U.S. In 1955, he founded the McDonald's Corporation and 5 years later bought the exclusive rights by name. By 1958, McDonald's had sold its 100th millionth hamburger. And that museum's gone now in displays.
Yeah. Well, they had problems with weather. You know, bad weather caused it to deteriorate.
I never saw people there, like, touring it or anything. But it was, you know, it was a wrought iron fence around it. So at least when you drove by, it was kind of cool to see, right?
Yeah. They didn't tear it down, did they?
It's gone.
It is? Oh.
Yeah, it's been flattened. Absolutely.
Well,
what was this now?
Progress.
Already?
We got a classic commercial.
Oh, we do?
Oh,
I'm sorry. It's like we had to go to commercial. Sorry. Go ahead, buddy.
McDonald's is our kind of place. It's such a happy place. Happy place. A clean and snappy place. McDonald's is our kind of place. It's such a happy place. McDonald's is our kind of place.
Your kind of place.
McDonald's.
McDonald's believes in getting food to your kids before they get to each other. Such good food, too. McDonald's famous French fries, triple thick creamy shakes, lean beefy cheeseburgers and hamburgers, icy cold soft drinks. And here's a plus, spill-proof lids on all beverages. Another plus, napkins that are big as a bib. Quality, cleanliness, extra care service. That's McDonald's. A total value that's unmatched anywhere.
McDonald's is our kind of place. McDonald's is our kind of place.
Your kind of place.
That was 60s for sure.
I remember that spot.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah. Wow. I remember that. Again, you know, that's afternoon after school.
That's right.
I was on Garfield Goose.
Yeah.
And Ray Rayner, since we're talking about Ray Rayner, did a program for a while, at least in the late afternoon, called Rocket to Adventure.
Oh.
Where he was the pilot of, and this is after Dick Tracy.
Dick Tracy,
but then there was Rocket to Adventure, where he was the pilot of a rocket ship, you know, just flying around, and then they would show cartoons.
I think we have some of those puppets from that show.
You may, music. Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
I didn't know what that was.
But the McDonald's spot was part of that.
Who was the first Ronald McDonald?
Oh, it was...
Willard Scott.
I couldn't
Willard
come up
Scott
with his name.
Was the first one.
Yeah.
And I think for a while there, Bozo the Clown was their mascot before Ronald McDonald.
Oh, okay. Bozo?
Yeah. Bozo did it, yeah. 1957, due to lack of funds, Saturday mail delivery in the U.S. was temporarily halted. You know, lack of funds. Don't we lose, like, $7 billion a year?
I had a conversation with a friend the other day about mail delivery and the fact that it involved his tax refund.
Yeah.
We don't have time to go into
it. But I mean, think about this. On Saturdays, I'm not looking at the mail. I sometimes forget till Monday to even go get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't... I
know people that
do
that.
It doesn't bother me. 1961, the Stanley Cup.
Doesn't bother you.
The Blackhawks beat the Detroit Red Wings 4-2. 1961, of course, the next time was in 2010.
2010.
Yeah. 1964, the Ford Mustang was formally introduced.
I remember when that came out.
Mm-hmm.
That was one hot car.
Yeah. My son has one.
Your son has one?
Mm-hmm.
From that era?
No.
Oh.
He's got like a 2008
All right.
He went and got a job in eighth grade, had to get permission from his principal to work, and started saving up, and then he had a deposit for the car.
Right? Mm-hmm. I commend him for saving.
Yeah.
Boy, he knows how to do that now.
He does.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
He's got some skin in the game.
Yes, sir.
You know, a little clip? Yeah, let's do it.
Coming April 17th, the unexpected, the new Ford Mustang. Brilliant new kind of car. A new generation of Fords for the new breed of Americans who want stick-shift action and room for four. Who collect sports car badges and trading stamps. Who want the elegance of a European touring car and, till now, had to settle for basic transportation. This is for them. This is Mustang. With an unexpected variety of options, Mustang is the one car that's designed to be designed by you. Get ready to meet the unexpected April 17th at your Ford dealers. Mustang is only days away.
Look at that.
Does anybody know what trading stamps are anymore?
No, probably not. No, not probably not anymore. I remember S&H stamps.
S&H green stamps.
I have a sign somewhere. An SH green stamp sign in my office.
Stamps. Yeah, there was an office. Oh, I don't know where. It wasn't right close to home, but it was several miles. Dad had you saved these green stamps.
Mm-hmm.
You would go to their offices.
Yeah.
And pick out, if you had enough of them, you could pick out, you know, some sort of merchandise.
One of them was off of 355. Was it an Addison or something? Like,
maybe,
there was one over there, I remember.
Yeah.
Oh, but yeah, those. I remember sitting them on my grandma's counter. Oh, yeah.
You'd go get, you know, a small appliance like that or something.
Yeah.
Like, maybe some clothing.
It's a cool little program, a marketing program for sure.
Yeah.
Have a great weekend, Dave.
You too, Dave.
Thanks, buddy.
You bet.